Okay, so the first question, Campbell.
Hi, my name's Sarah Campbell, Columbia University. During the coffee break, some of my fellow new talents mentioned that with the new tracker upgrades, you might be able to do heavy ion collisions at LHCb. Is that something you guys are thinking about?
Yes, we are. It's actually completely separate from our upgrade. Our upgrade will take place in run two, and it's exciting, but we are intending to become involved in the iron run this year.
Oh.
Previously, we did not participate because for central high centrality collisions, the occupancy is too high. However, we did dip our toe in the water and we participated in the iron proton collisions, and that was very successful. We were the first experiment to see heavy boson production there, for instance. And now we have additional resources. We've attracted new person power who are actually interested in iron physics. And within the collaboration, at least, we will participate. High centrality collisions will be too dense for us, but collisions of lower centrality, we think we can do well, particularly looking at charm and beauty production. And we also have one other thing we can do also, which is we actually can do fixed target iron collisions. We actually inject a gas jet. We do this for our luminosity measurement, and it's been pointed out to us that by making measurements of ions on fixed target neon, for instance, or protons on fixed target neon, we can bring a new dimension to the program. So this is something we are intending to do.
But with the tracker upgrade, will you be able to do central events as well?
We have not looked into that. That's still a few years down the line.
Yevle?
Evgeny Ilyev, St. Petersburg State University. I'm here.
Hi.
During your lecture, Professor Zekicki pointed out that we should distinguish such terms like matter and particles. Unfortunately, dear professor is not here at the moment, so maybe you could explain the difference.
I would prefer you to address that question to the professor. He will return later in the conference. I'm much looser in my nomenclature.
All right, thank you.
Li?
Yeah, here. I'm Kali, here.
Hi.
Yeah, from Shandong University and IHAP. And I have a question about the details of the 4430. So may you turn to page 43, I think.
Just a minute, I get to the... You mean about...
So in last year, the Bell has observed another state which will decay to pi psi prime 2, and the mass is about 4.05 GeV. So in your analysis, have you considered this state? Because in your in this distribution, we can see around the 16, there is a little enhancement. So maybe...
Right. So this is very interesting. To try and, be clear, I simplified the discussion somewhat. If you actually go and look at our paper, you will see that to fully describe this distribution, indeed there is this bump here, and to fit the data correctly, we have to include another Z particle also. So that is described in the paper. We see that with high significance. That's there, but it was for reasons of clarity I admitted it from our discussion.
Okay, yeah. And another one is that for the Baba hasn't observed this state, and they said it may be this state is caused by some K-star related background. So have you considered it?
Absolutely, that's the whole point of the study,
yes.
And this is what this paper does, with high rigor. This is absolutely essential. Let me reiterate, there's a bump there, but what is this bump caused by? Because there can be interference effects from higher mass K stars, which can produce such features. So it's absolutely critical that you perform a full amplitude analysis and put in all possible K-stars you might know about and see if you could reproduce this structure. And this is allowing for J values up to 3, I believe, and you see it's impossible to do.
Yeah.
So this is doing what Babar tried to do, but with the higher data sample we have. And you cannot describe it with conventional resonances.
Okay, thanks.
Albrecht?
Yeah, hello, I'm here. Malte Albrecht from University of Bochum. My question goes in the same direction. So I suppose that in the full partial wave analysis, you parameterized the Z with a simple Breit-Wiechner shape. And my question is, all the other components that are in, you just mentioned that I guess that it's a bunch of K-stars, and these could be broad overlapping states in the K-pi invariant mass. Are they parameterized with Breit-Wiechner functions also, or with something more sophisticated, like, for example, a K-matrix formalism or whatever?
So here you'll have to forgive me, because the exact details of this paper, it's about a year old, I can no longer recall. But certainly in our approaches to amplitude analyses in general, we are very aware of the difficulties of describing the S wave, and we often and we take great go to great lengths to try the state-of-the-art parameterizations. What exactly is done here, I cannot recall, but if you look in the paper, it should be clearly described. But you're right, using Breit-Wiechner's for broad states is not a good idea.
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant, and actually I found that it's not in the paper. That's
okay.
Why I asked. But
I will follow up and see if I can get you the information.
Okay, thank you.
Hogan?
Hi, I'm here too. Julie Hogan from Brown University. I also had a question on this slide. I was just wondering if you could explain a little more about how to read this plot down in the corner. Are these points scanning over the mass range?
Exactly. So what one does is you hypothesize that there is something here, but you don't impose on it a Breit-Wiechner resonance.
Okay.
But you just measure its amplitude in different slices of mass, and you measure the real and imaginary contributions to the amplitude. And if you have a genuine resonance, what you expect is a rapid, as you know from your high school mechanics, a rapid phase variation across that resonance. And this is what you see. If this was if this wasn't a real particle, if this was just an artifact coming from the interference of various K-stars, in general, you would not expect to see that.
Okay, thanks. I also had a question back for the B0 to K mu mu. I think which page did I write down? 31, is that? Yeah, I was wondering about in this P5 prime plot, how did the last 2 points contribute to the discrepancy? Is there a model point for those as well?
Not from these this group of theorists here. You will find other predictions on the market, but in general, in this game, when you're at low Q squared, the theory is much people feel much more confident than when you get above the open charm resonance. So I think there's much to be learnt out here, but the theory, a rule of thumb is that one is much more, the theory is much more reliable, people are much more confident when you're below the J psi.
Okay, thanks.
Savitsky?
Well, probably I'm lacking some understanding of the basic concepts of how the analysis works at the LHCb.
Can you just wave your hand?
Yes, good. So usually in high energy physics, such experiments like CMS with 4π geometry, like ATLAS, D0, and so on, analyzers do not care about light parton jets, for example, and they just have C taggers and B taggers. How actually it works in case of the LHCb or like Bell experiments and so on? Do you use some kind of taggers in order to distinguish light partons, like up and down, strange quarks? And what is the separation power between those?
That's an interesting question. So for the core flavor physics program, more or less all results I've shown today, I think all results indeed, what you call a jet tagger or a charm tagger or a bead tagger is irrelevant. And that's because what we are interested in doing is reconstructing the B hadron completely. So in all these analyses, we reconstruct the full final state of the B. Okay, so what else happens in the event, by and large, we don't care about. So that's why you need this very good vertexing, very good tracking. However, it is interesting to say, well, can we tag jets? And the answer is yes, and we have very good performance. If you look on the archive for last month, we've shown performance for charm tagging, which is actually exceptionally good. And that's because our VALO, our vertex detector, goes very, very close to the beam line and gives excellent discrimination. So we are thinking what we could do in the future with our higher luminosity samples in terms of tagging heavy particles in that manner. But for all the studies I've shown, it's irrelevant because all we are doing is interested in picking out the actual decay products of the B hadron and reconstructing the decay in its entirety.
Bellantuono?
Hello. I'm Loredana Bellantuono from Bari University.
Sorry, I have the same problem. Oh, I see you.
Okay. My question is about exotic states. So we have evidence of a four-quark exotic state, but I would like to know if there are also hints about the existence of other exotic states, like globules and hybrids. In particular, I'm interested in states with exotic quantum numbers like 1 minus plus that can be explained by hybrids, because I know that there could be some candidates with that quantum numbers.
Right, so, okay. So I picked out one exotic here, and it's the one for which we have, I think, very, very firm evidence. When you're talking about being in the Charmonium region and above, there are many exotic candidates which have been discovered by essentially the B factories, which we can study. I think and we will learn more about those. I think you're interested more in, the globules are in general lower mass objects, and these are harder to see in the environment of the LHC, because the virtue of the exotic I showed you, for instance, is that it decays through a J psi, and that's a very clean signature. But these lower mass states, these glueball candidates, I forget, but they're in the mass range of 1 to 2 GeV, right? There you don't have the J psi signature, so you need to look at them in another way. So in a normal proton-proton inelastic collision, it would be almost impossible. But there are other ways to look for those, and that is that there was this last special talent talk we heard about diffractive production. And one thing we can maybe do is to look at central exclusive production, where you have nothing produced in the experiment but two pions or four pions or four kaons, which comes from a double Pomeron exchange. In such events, one could make studies of low-mass spectroscopy, and one could learn about these candidates. That's not something we've done yet, but that's something we hope to do.
Any further questions? If not, we can thank the speaker and move to the next.